Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. So now to the main headlines from around the world. A Neolithic axe head is uncovered in Lancashire. Thornborough campaign group makes call to continue support for the Henges. A schoolgirl finds a Bronze Age tool in an Irish playground. And in Rome, a 3,000-year-old necropolis is unearthed. A multinational archaeology team is set to solve the Bosniak pyramid riddle, and traces of an ancient settlement are found in Sicily. An early Spanish sculpture is to return to the town where it was found, and ancient lakes of the Sahara are investigated by a British team. A hair gel wearing Celt may have been sacrificed in Ireland, and an ancient Cyclops wall collapses in Italy. Early Neolithic sites are found in western Beijing, and a 4,000-year-old kitchen is unearthed in Indiana in America. Experts also try to explain the Cycladic mystery. History has been rewritten in Barnold's work in East Lancashire, England, after a Neolithic axe head dating back 6,000 years was uncovered. Father and son, Chris and Jordan Green, were walking along Brogden Lane looking for Roman coins when they made their find, which has since been verified by the British Museum. The fact that people were living in the area back in 4000 BCE has stunned the pair, as like most people, they have been led to believe that the first settlers in the area arrived in the Anglo-Saxon period. Mr. Green is very keen on historical artefacts, but admits he had no idea when he picked up the stone that it would turn out to have such historical significance for the area. "It was just another stone to me," he said, but Jordan recognised the axe from the cutting edge. The 11-year-old had never been taught anything about the Neolithic age at school, but he was so determined he was right in his identification that his dad took the axe head home and sent photographs of it to the British Museum. A curator there not only confirmed its authenticity, but was also able to tell the pair that the axe was around 6,000 years old and that the grey-green rock it was made from probably came from Great Langdale in the Lake District, where rock was quarried extensively by Neolithic people. Axes made from Langdale tuff was traded and exchanged widely in Britain in the Neolithic, but how exactly it ended up in Barnoldswick is still a mystery. Mr. Green still does not know whether objects like this have to be handed in as treasure trove, but has said that even if not, he will donate it to a local museum, as it proves that people were living here more than 4,000 years earlier than previously thought. This is truly a responsible way to treat our heritage in sharing discoveries like this with everyone. Heritage campaign group Time Watch has called for international support in the battle to save the Thornborough Henges from the threat of quarrying nearby. Quarry company Tarmac Northern Limited was granted a delay in the planning process while it carried out further archaeological investigations at the proposed quarry site at Ladybridge Farm, North Yorkshire in England, half a mile from the Triple Henge complex. These have now been completed, and there's a new consultation process ahead of the North Yorkshire County Council planning meeting on February the 21st, which will determine the firm's application. As a result of Tarmac's latest work, English Heritage have confirmed that the proposals would destroy archaeology of national importance, said Time Watch chairman George Chaplin this week, which he felt vindicated their position and proved the area needed to be regarded as part of the setting of the Thornborough Henges complex. North Yorkshire County Council have already concerned there is no need for the gravel and that the application fails several planning policies, but were still concerned that any perceived drop in public concern may have a detrimental outcome on the decision. We're therefore asking that the international community shows its support for this campaign. Responses to the latest consultation should be sent to a Mr. Shaw at the Minerals and Waste Planning Unit, County Hall, Northallerton, DL7 8AH. By February the 3rd. Louise Mangan, a 9-year-old pupil at St. Bridget's National School in Greystokes, County Wicklow in Ireland, discovered an odd-looking stone on the ground while walking in the schoolyard. She brought the stone to her teacher, a Mr. Martin Dodd, who, luckily, just happened to have a degree in archaeology. Mr. Dodd forwarded it to an acquaintance of his, a Dr. O'Sullivan at the Department of Archaeology in UCD. To Louise's surprise, the school received word shortly before Christmas last year that the stone dated back to the Neolithic, or Bronze Age period, 2000 BCE, and was most probably used as a tool for scraping meat from animal hides. Louise is reportedly thrilled with her find, which has now been dubbed Louise's Special Stone by teachers at St. Bridget's. If she had brought it to any other teacher, they probably would have just thrown it away. Now they have dozens of pupils bringing stones in from the yard for him to examine, and other teachers will always check with him before asking these budding archaeologists to put them back in the yard. What a lovely story, but it just goes to show you that archaeology can inspire people of any age. Archaeologists digging beneath the Roman Forum have discovered a 3,000-year-old necropolis that predates the birth of ancient Rome by several hundred years. State television showed an excavation team removing vases from the tomb, which resembled a deep well. Archaeologists were excavating under the level of the ancient Forum, a popular tourist site, when they dug up the tomb, which they suspected is part of an entire necropolis. Inside it was a perfectly preserved funeral urn dating from the 1st millennium BCE. The first tomb is exceptionally big and well preserved, with its 1.2 metre wide hut-like roof. Its form, however, resembles a well. A funerary urn that contains human ashes was found in the tomb, as well as bone fragments that appear to be from a sheep. Archaeologist Alessandro Delfino said that they found people's possessions, such as miniatures of lances, vases and shields, that reproduced the aspects of the dead person's domestic life. Delfino said he found the roof of a second tomb just metres away from the tomb he discovered and dug only a few days before. Finding another tomb would indicate the existence of a series of these that were built well before the city's foundation. The necropolis was destined for high-ranking personalities, like warriors and ancient priests, heading the tribes and clans that lived in small villages scattered on the hills near the area, which later spawned one of the world's greatest civilizations. State television quoted experts as saying that the tombs appear to date from around 1000 BCE, meaning the people who constructed the necropolis preceded the legendary founders of Rome by some 3 centuries. It dates from the transition from Bronze to Iron Age, Rome's archaeology commissioner said. The tomb and its artifacts, which date from the 11th century BCE, will help historians learn more about the time before the foundation of Rome, which happened around 750 BCE. Legend has it that Rome was founded by Romulus and Remus, the twin sons of the god of war, Mars. Australian archaeologist Royce Richards is among a team preparing to look for the truth behind a theory that Bosnia-Herzegovina has an ancient pyramid. Archaeologists from Australia, Scotland, Ireland, Austria and Slovenia will begin excavation work in April on the Visočica Hill, 32 kilometres northwest of Sarajevo. The hill is quite symmetrical, and the theory goes that it was once a pyramid, as has been supported by preliminary excavations. Bosnian Semir Osmanagic put forward the theory last year that a 100-metre geometrically shaped hill with evenly shaped sides and corners that point north, south, east and west is an ancient man-made edifice. Osmanagic, who has spent 15 years studying the pyramids of the Americas, is convinced that the hill is a genuine man-made pyramid from an ancient civilization. His preliminary excavations show what he believes is evidence that the earth has been shaped to form a pyramid and then covered in the equivalent of a prehistoric concrete and stone blocks. Excavation works to test this theory will begin on April the 14th and are expected to continue until October this year. Archaeologists working in Sicily's Valley of the Temples have found traces of a settlement thought to predate the famous Greek temples built there in around 600 BCE. The discovery of the structure, possibly built before the Greeks arrived, came during preparatory work ahead of a project to shore up the ground near the Temple of Hera. Archaeologists uncovered a mysterious walled structure on top of which ancient Greeks had apparently built a shrine and a burial ground. Until now, it has been thought that the Agrigento was settled by the Greeks soon after they began starting colonies in much of the Mediterranean in the 7th century BCE. It has not been possible yet to establish precisely when these remains date back to, cautioned Pietro Melli, head of the agency which administrates the Valley of Temples Archaeological Park. Fixing a date would be possible if and when archaeologists found pieces of clay vessels or ceramics, which would then provide clear evidence. He noted that the settlement appeared to have been built along the line of an ancient road to Gela, a town about 70 kilometres northwest of Agrigento. There are 8 temples, most of them well preserved in the Valley of Temples. In the 5th century BCE, at the height of Agrigento's power and wealth, there are said to have been 21 temples. The present site, which draws thousands of tourists a year, was placed on the UNESCO World Heritage List in 1997. An early Spanish sculpture, symbol of the advanced nature of prehistoric culture of the Mediterranean coast, is to return on loan to the town where it was discovered. The Dame of Elche, a striking stone bust dating from between the 4th and 5th centuries BCE, was uncovered in 1897 by farm workers who informed a local doctor and art connoisseur. The find was made near the town of Elche on the eastern coast of Spain at a spot which has been called Elche, Augusta Colonia Julia during the Roman Empire, and Helice by the Iberian tribes that dominated the area before that. The sculpture's artistic and historical importance was immediately obvious, and the bust was sold that same year to the Louvre Museum in Paris. Under Nazi German occupation in 1941, Paris returned the sculpture to Spain, where it became a popular exhibit in the Prado Museum until 1971, before it was then given a permanent home at Madrid's National Archaeological Museum. Exhaustive tests found the sculpture to be in very good structural condition, and the museum decided to lend the famous bust to the museum in Elche, near where experts believe it would have been sculpted some 2,500 years ago. The Sahara has not always been the arid, inhospitable place that it is today. It was once a savanna teeming with life, according to researchers at the universities of Reading and Leicester. 8 years of study in the Libyan desert area of Fezzan have revealed swings in the climate that may have caused considerably wetter periods lasting for thousands of years, when the desert turned to savanna and lakes. This would have provided water for the peoples and animals. This, in turn, has given vital clues about the history of humans in the area and how these ancient inhabitants coped with the climate change as the land began to dry up around them. In their article Ancient Lakes of the Sahara, which appears in the January-February issue of the American Scientist magazine, Dr. Kevin White of the University of Reading and Professor Mattingly of the University of Leicester explain how they use satellite technology and archaeological evidence to reveal new clues about both the past environment of the Sahara and of the human prehistory of the area. The climate of the Sahara has been highly variable over the millennia, and they have now been able to provide much more specific dating of these changes. Over the last 10,000 years, there have been 2 distinct humid phases, separated by an interval of highly variable but generally drying conditions between roughly 8,000 and 7,000 years ago. Another drying trend took place after about 5,000, leading to today's parched environment. The researchers determined where surface water was once present by using radar images of the desert taken from space. They found large quantities of stone tools around these ancient water sources, indicating at least 2 separate phases of human occupation. The earliest humans in the area were Paleolithic hunter-gatherers who lived in the Fezzan between about 400,000 and 70,000 years ago. A prolonged arid phase from about 70,000 to 12,000 years ago apparently drove the humans out of the region. But when the rains returned, along came the people. About 5,000 years ago, the climate began to dry out again, but this time people adapted by developing an agricultural civilization with towns and villages based around oases. This process culminated with the emergence of the Garamantian society in the 1st millennium BCE. The Garamantes were known to the ancient Romans as a desert race of warriors, but the archaeology has shown that they also had agriculture, cities, and a phenomenally advanced system of water extraction that kept their civilization going for 1,000 years as the land was drying up around them. They cultivated a high grade of cereals such as wheat and barley, and other crops such as date palms, vines, olives, cotton, vegetables, and pulses. As the Saharan climate began to dry out, they drew their water from a large subterranean aquifer and transported it through a network of tunnels. But even this remarkable adaptable society, one of the first urban civilizations built in a desert, could not cope forever with a falling water table and intensifying aridity. Sometime around 500 AD, the Garamantian society collapsed as their agricultural and irrigation systems fell into disuse. A hair-gelled head of an ancient Celt dubbed the Iron Age Beckham because of his slicked-back look has been reconstructed by Scottish scientists. Examinations of Clonycarvan man, found fully preserved in a peat bog in Ireland, revealed he used a gel made from a mixture of plant oil and pine resin, believed to be from southwest France or Spain. The discovery has been held up as the first evidence of the trade of luxury goods between Ireland and southern Europe 2,500 years ago. Archaeologists suggest the gel may have been applied in an attempt to increase the man's diminutive stature, as he was only 5'2" tall. Now a team of scientists at the University of Dundee has reconstructed the Iron Age man's face from the man's preserved remains. Dr. Caroline Wilkinson, a forensic anthropologist, said that the discovery of the primitive hair product was one of the most surprising finds of the project. Forensic anthropologists and forensic artists at Dundee University used a state-of-the-art computer system to recreate the facial appearance of the Iron Age man, and then add glass eyes, skin tone and hair. The forensic scientists were in an unusual position where reconstructing the man's facial features, because the skull had been dissolved due to the acidic chemical composition of the peat bog where he was found, and this meant they had to recreate a human face by reinflating the squashed but still preserved soft tissue of Clonycarvan man, named after the area where he was found. Archaeologists believe that Clonycarvan man was an aristocrat who may have been part of a ritualistic sacrifice. The mummified corpse had signs of violent blows to the back of the head. Ned Kelly, the head of antiquities at the National Museum of Ireland, said his belief was that these burials were offerings to the gods of fertility by kings to ensure a successful reign. The body was found by a farmer operating a peat-cutting machine in 2003 at Clonycarvan near Dublin. The man had been so well preserved that detectives originally thought he was a victim of an IRA murder from the 70s. It's now thought that he lived between 392 and 201 BCE. Since being found, the body has been preserved in wet peat and exposed for only 2 days at a time. More than 350 bog bodies have been found in northern Europe, although fleshed remains are extremely rare. Part of a massive wall started in around 600 BCE around the central Italian town of Amelia collapsed for reasons still unclear. The so-called polygonal wall around Amelia are famous not only for their age but also their size, built out of huge polygonal stones. They are 8 to 10 metres high and about 3.5 metres thick. The 20-metre section of wall, which collapsed, was undergoing restoration work in recent weeks, although activity had been suspended for a few days because of bad weather. Central Italy recorded record rainfall in December, a fact which experts are taking into account as they study the broken section. Police and fire services confirmed that no one had been hurt by the collapse. Scaffolding set up for the restoration was destroyed, and a car park nearby was slightly damaged. The location, some 55 miles north of Rome in Umbria, Amelia was in ancient times called Armeria. The city was said by Latin author Pliny to have been founded at least 3 centuries before Rome. Archaeological experts were expected to examine the rubble in efforts to see whether the collapsed section of wall could be rebuilt. The 800-metre-long wall, which now has a breach in the section to the right of the old city gate, has always impressed archaeologists for the skill with which it has been built. According to local legend, it was constructed by the Cyclops, the one-eyed monster encountered by the Greek hero Ulysses. A site dating back about 10,000 years offers new clues about the development of people living in northern China in the early Neolithic period. The excavation of Donghulin site, located in Zhuedang town in the western suburbs of Beijing, fills the archaeological gap after the discovery of the Upper Caveman, a primitive man who lived in the late Paleolithic around 20,000 years ago and whose fossil remains were found in 1933 in western Beijing. The Donghulin site was excavated by archaeologists from Beijing University and the Institute of Archaeology of Beijing. An ancient tomb and the remains of houses have been found at the site. Archaeologists have unearthed many stone tools, earthenware, boneware, as well as a large number of bones from deer, pig and other animals. Mussel shell decorations have also been found. One of the biggest shells was about 30 centimetres long, which showed that ancient Beijing was warm and had plentiful water resources. Archaeologists have also discovered hematite pigments and a stone abrader used to grind these pigments, but they still don't know what these pigments were actually used for. In a well-preserved tomb at the site, the remains of the tomb owner, with legs flexed, was unearthed. A small stone axe and a necklace made of spiral shells were buried with the body. Workers building a boat ramp at southeastern Indiana's Charlestown State Park in the USA have uncovered the apparent remains of a 4,000-year-old kitchen ancient American Indian tribes may have used to prepare their winter food supply. The discovery of the site in eastern Clark County prompted the state to temporarily halt work on the Ohio River boat ramp project. Bob McCullough, who heads an archaeological survey team from Indiana University, Purdue University, Fort Wayne, said that the low-lying area was probably used by nomadic tribes of hunters and gatherers. He said they appear to have collected hickory nuts, used large slabs of rock to crush them, and then made fires to boil them and extract fatty oils. Tribes often stored such high-energy nut oils for use during the lean winter months. The team made two trips to the site and plans a third study of the area. No human remains or bones have been found at the site. McCullough said he was surprised by how well preserved the cooking area site was, and he said it was protected over the centuries by layers of silt deposited by floodwaters. Other artifacts include stone slabs used for grinding and cracking nuts, the remains of fire pits, and some charred bits of plant material. The area being studied is part of a 2,700-acre expansion at the park closed to the public. Over the years, several archaeological sites have been found in the park area. British and Greek archaeologists are preparing a major excavation on a tiny Greek island to try and explain why it produced history's largest collection of Cycladic flat-faced marble figurines. Artwork from Baron Keros inspired such artists as Pablo Picasso and Henry Moore, but also attracted ruthless looters. Now experts are seeking insight into the island's possible role as a major religious centre of the enigmatic Cycladic civilization some 4,500 years ago. Excavations will run April through June. Keros is one of the riddles of prehistoric archaeology, said Peggy Sotirakopoulou, curator of the Cycladic collection at the Museum of Cycladic Art in Athens. Of the more than 1,400 Cycladic figurines that have survived, only 40% are of known origin, as looters destroyed all evidence on the rest. But more than half the documented artifacts are from Keros. What is particularly impressive is not just the bulk of finds, which is larger than the total from the rest of the Cyclades, but also that they were intentionally broken during ancient times. The Cycladic culture, a network of small, sometimes fortified farming and fishing settlements that traded with mainland Greece, Crete, and Asia Minor, is best known for its elegant artwork, mostly naked, elongated figurines with their arms folded under their chest. The seafaring civilization was eclipsed in the 2nd millennium BCE by Crete and Mycenaean Greece. Currently inhabited by a goat herd and his flock, Keros lies near the eastern rim of the Cyclades island chain, between the larger islands of Naxos and Amorgos. Keros was extensively pillaged during the 1950s and 60s for its marble figurines, hundreds of which were illegally exported to fill museums and private collections. Evidence of these excavations in the 60s and 1980s failed to explain why the barren islet was so much more important in the 3rd millennium BCE than its bigger but more hospitable neighbours. The prevailing explanation is that this was a sacred repository, a sort of pan-Cycladic sanctuary, where people left objects within the framework of rituals which included their intentional smashing. She will then participate in the summer's excavation together with Cambridge University Professor Colin Renfrew and other experts. Experts agree that the elegant marble figurines were highly prized in the early Bronze Age Cyclades, but still don't understand for what purposes they were made. The figurines have been variously interpreted as depicting gods or venerated ancestors, serving as replacements for human sacrifices, or even as children's toys. New archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK Heritage Calendar, Library Section and UK Heritage Courses Index can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can always be found at Stonepages. That's news.stonepages.com. Thank you for listening to the Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.